to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. This morning we looked at the shepherds. This evening I'd like to look at the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. And we'll read the first 12 verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And that's important. They came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard all these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. Very important. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now again, this morning we looked at the shepherds. I'd like to look at the wise men this evening. I do not believe, though tradition places the shepherds and the wise men at the manger, I do not believe that scripturally that is accurate. You cannot place the wise men with the shepherds on the night of the birth of Christ. But this, what we just read here, is the account of the wise men believing, seeking, visiting, and worshiping the Christ child. And like all the Word of God, this is more than just a story to entertain us. What is written here is not an allegory. It's not a myth. It's a fact. It is a historical fact. And what is recorded here by Matthew under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, again, is an historical account of something that actually did happen, something that actually literally took place, and it is filled with instruction. It is filled with teaching for you and I. In verse 1, in the latter part of the verse, we read, "Behold," which again is a call to attention. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So they came east of Jerusalem. The word translated wise men is the word magi, from which we get our English word magician. But we're not talking here about what you and I think when we think of a magician. The magi, or magicians in that day, were men who were experts in astrology, experts in astronomy. And I believe that's what these wise men were. They were held in very high esteem, especially in Babylon and in Persia. They were often advisors to kings, and they would often follow camps into wars in order to give counsel. Now, who these particular wise men were, we do not know. Their names are not given, nor do we know how many there were. It is assumed, and I believe wrongly so, that there were three wise men, and the reason that is assumed is because of the three gifts. But that is quite an assumption. So we don't know who they were. We do not know how many they were. We do know that they came from the east, somewhere east of Palestine, somewhere east of Jerusalem. Now, both Babylon and Persia is a place where magi were held in very high esteem, and Babylon and Persia are both east of Palestine. But we don't know that they came from Babylon or Persia. The Bible is very vague when it comes to the description of these wise men. They suddenly appear, they inquire, they come into contact with Christ, they actually worship Christ, and then they're gone, never to be heard of again. But again, what we do read of them in these verses that we read tonight are filled with instruction for you and I. So we want to speak tonight on learn from the wise men, and we want to consider two things about them. We want to consider their faith, and I believe that's something that is greatly overlooked here in Matthew chapter 2, the faith of these men. And then we want to consider the worship of these men. And from their faith and from their worship, there is much for you and I to learn. So first of all, let's consider the faith of these wise men. They had some knowledge. They had some knowledge, and what they believed was based upon the knowledge that they had. Now, I believe it is probable. It is not definite, but it is possible, it is probable, very probable, that these wise men were the descendants of perhaps the wise men of Babylon, who lived in the days of Daniel during Israel's captivity. We read of them in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and verse 48. And we see that Daniel was made chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel had quite an influence over the wise men of Babylon. And it is probable that, and very possible, that Daniel told these wise men of Babylon of Christ's future birth. And in turn, these wise men would eventually tell their descendants, and perhaps, it's not really important, but perhaps that's where these wise men came from, Babylon. And perhaps they had heard from their forefathers the truths that Daniel had told them. But they hadn't, no matter what you believe, concerning these wise men, they had some knowledge concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. And they believed that a star would announce the birth of the Messiah. We see that in Matthew 12 in verse 2, "For we have seen his star in the east," indicating that they had some knowledge of his birth. Now, through the influence of the Jews, perhaps they were familiar with the prophecy of Numbers 24 and verse 17, where we read, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." But I believe it is safe to say that these wise men believed whatever little knowledge they had of scriptures. They believed that Jesus Christ, they believed that the Messiah would be born. And I believe they were looking for that day. And that's when the star appeared, they immediately recognized it as his star. Now, the wise men also believed something about the person of Jesus Christ. Because we read in verse 2 that when they arrived in Jerusalem, they asked, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They knew something about the person of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe that he would just become a king. They believed that he was born king of the Jews. That is, they believed that even as an infant or as a young child, that even then that the Messiah was the king. So they knew enough about Scripture to know that the prophesied Messiah would be born the King of the Jews. And by the appearance of the star in their own country, wherever that was, they believed he had already been born. When they saw that star, they believed that the king had been born. They believed that he had come in the flesh. They believed that he was born king of the Jews, though they never personally saw him up until at this point. They still believed, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They had faith. They had faith in the person of Jesus Christ. They believed he would be king. They believed he was born king. And so therefore they came to Jerusalem, which of course was the place of royalty, the place of public worship, and the capital of Judah. And no doubt as they arrived in Jerusalem, they expected the city to be jubilant. The king has been born. But as they ask around, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Herod had no idea what they were talking about. And it seems from verse 2 that none of the people knew what they were talking about. Because it says he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. So you can imagine the wise men going through Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" People are scratching their heads and giving them blank stares. "What in the world are you talking about?" But they kept on believing. In spite of all the unbelief, in spite of the unbelief that they were seeing and that they were experiencing, they kept on believing. They had followed that star And their question now is, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They not only believe that Jesus had been born King of the Jews, they also believe that he was worthy of worship. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. They believed he was worthy of worship. In other words, they believed he was God. But I think it's interesting that they came asking, where is he? Put the emphasis on the he. Where is he? They didn't ask, where is his mother? They didn't ask, where is his father? They asked, where is he? They were interested in him. It was not Mary that they were interested in. It was he that was born King of the Jews. In other words, Jesus Christ was their focus. And they said, we have come to worship him. We haven't come to worship his mother. We have come to worship him. We haven't come to worship anyone else. We have come to worship him. They have never seen him, but they believed that he was the Christ, that he was the King. So without ever seeing him, and that's what faith is, without ever seeing him, but simply believing what the scriptures had prophesied of him, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him. We have come to do reverence to him. We have come to pay homage to him. We are come to adore him. Again, they have declared that he is worthy of worship. So they knew something about the person of Jesus Christ. We see also that they had faith and they manifested their faith. And they manifested their faith in a great way. They manifested their faith, first of all, by leaving their home, by leaving their country. They had seen the star. Now they ask, where is he? They had faith that he was alive. They had faith that he existed. And now they're out to find him. And they were willing to risk everything. These wise men were willing to risk everything to find him. They were willing to leave the safety of their homes. They were willing to go on an unknown journey to see a king that they had never seen, that had just recently been born. Can you imagine the reaction of the family and friends of these wise men? Where are you going? Well, we don't really know. Well, how far is it? Well, we really don't know. Well, how long are you going to be gone? Well, we really don't know. You know what I would have said to them? For being wise men, you don't know much. But they believed. They believed. And they leave their country. They leave their home. They have no idea where they're going. They're just going to follow a star, believing that that star is going to lead them to the one who has been born King of the Jews. So they manifested their faith by leaving their home, their
country, their family, their friends. I believe they manifested their faith and their diligence. They were very diligent in their journey, all because of a particular star in the sky. They left everything that was familiar to them and began their journey. And I believe that it was a journey of many miles. I believe it was a journey that took them nearly 2 years to make. A journey through deserts. We're talking of a journey somewhere probably between 500 and 1,000 miles. And it's going to take them nearly 2 years to get to their destination. Well, how do you know that? Well, read verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them or questioned them diligently. And what was Herod questioning them about? What time the star appeared? I want to know when the star appeared. I want to know what day it appeared. I want to know what year it appeared. Why? Because Herod was threatened. Here was one who was born king. Herod's the king. Now the information, whatever information that he got from the wise men in verse 7, he based his decision that we read of in verse 16 upon that information. And notice verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under. Why 2 years old and under? It's all based on the information that he got in verse 7. That's where it all comes from. And according to the time, and then notice what it says, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. I do not believe that you can place the wise men at the manger. It took them nearly 2 years. Herod's no dummy. And after questioning them, he figured it out. So he had all the infants in Bethlehem. The problem is, Christ is in Jerusalem now. But he had all the infants in Bethlehem slaughtered from the age 2 and under. These wise men believed, and they were diligent in their journey. 2 years, we'll say approximately, walking through the deserts, following a star. That's faith. That's diligence. The Bible does not tell us, but I am sure in that time span during that journey, they ran across, they came up against many perils. They ran against many obstacles, but they kept following that star because they believed that it was going to lead them to the one who was born King of the Jews. That's faith. That is diligent faith. Now, when they get to Jerusalem, from verse 3, Herod is ignorant of the birth. The people of Jerusalem are ignorant of the birth. Herod begins to feel threatened by the question of the wise men, where is he that is born King of the Jews? So Herod begins to feel threatened. So Herod gathered the theologians of the day in verse 4 and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they informed him from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Herod then privately met with the wise men, questioned them, and then he instructed them, go to Bethlehem. Go to Bethlehem, find this one who is born King of the Jews, and you report back to me. I want to know where he is. So the wise men scattered, or started, to Bethlehem. In verse 9, they departed. But Christ wasn't in Bethlehem anymore. Notice in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 39. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Mary, Joseph, and Christ have already left Bethlehem. The star, as the wise men leave Herod, in verse 9, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Now, I believe that star didn't lead them to Bethlehem. No need for the star to lead them to Bethlehem. Mary, Joseph, and Christ are no longer in Bethlehem. But the star led them to the house where Christ was. Now, notice, when they arrived in Nazareth, they did not come to a manger. In verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they're not at a manger. They're at a house. It's been nearly 2 years now since Jesus Christ has been born. And when they came to that house, unlike the shepherds, they did not find a newborn babe. They found a young child. Found a young child. Notice verse 8. And when he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Herod knew. It was no longer a babe. He knew that from questioning them. He refers to Jesus now as a young child. Verse 9. We see that the star came until it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, the young child. And then in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. My point is that these wise men were very, very diligent in their faith. They persevered in their faith. Faith will always persevere. Faith will always keep on going in spite of all the obstacles, in spite of all the hindrances. And for nearly 2 years, these wise men, simply based upon what they believe, made this journey. So they manifested their faith by seeking. They were very diligent in seeking Christ. He was their central focus. Nothing else seemed to matter, and they would not allow anything to keep them from finding where he is that is born king of the Jews. Now notice, as they walked by faith, they were divinely led. The best life you can live is a life of faith, because if you live by faith, you will be divinely led. And where God leads you will always be a wonderful place. It'll be the place where Jesus Christ is. And these wise men were divinely led. Verse 9, the star went before them. They could see that star, and I believe they could feel the presence and divine leadership of God as they followed that star day after day, week after week, month after month. We see that they were divinely led to the place where Christ was. The star went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, how did they eventually get to that place? Well, they had, as we say many times, they had to leave their comfort zone. They had to leave their home. They had to leave their friends. And eventually, they got to the place where Jesus was. And eventually they got to the place where their faith was fulfilled. And you think about it. When they got to that house in Nazareth, I believe even that had to be a test to their faith. We know that Mary and Joseph were very, very poor. So I imagine they lived in a very, very humble house. Perhaps a shack. We're in search for the one who's born king. You don't expect to find him in a shack. You don't expect to find him in a poor and humble house. So when that star stopped over this house, you would think those wise men would look at one another and say, this can't be. But they had faith. None of these things moved them. They saw Mary and Joseph, poverty-stricken parents. They weren't on the doorstep of a palace, but a poor and humble house. Nothing great. The only thing they had to tell them that this is the place was that star. That was it. And they believed. They had followed that star now for nearly 2 years. And that star led them to a humble house. I don't know what they were thinking when they were following that star. I imagine at some point they would picture in their minds a palace when they finally got to their destination. But they never saw a palace. They come to the house of Joseph and Mary. But then notice in verse 10. When they saw the star. We see in verse 9 the star stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star. Not when they saw the house. But when they saw the star. They were trusting the leadership of that star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. There's a lesson there. The lesson is you keep on believing. You keep on following the Lord no matter what the obstacles. You just be diligent in following the Lord, and the Lord is going to lead you to a place of exceeding great joy. That's where the leadership of the Lord always leads to. Our problem today is we don't follow long enough. We run into an obstacle here, we run into a hindrance here, and we go off on this path or we go off on that path. But these wise men just continued to follow the Lord. And eventually it brought them to the place of exceeding great joy. That is, they had a joy that went beyond great joy. This is no ordinary joy. And then we see also they are brought into the very presence of Jesus Christ. You keep walking by faith. You be diligent in walking in faith. And you persevere walking by faith. And I'm telling you, you will eventually be led into the very presence of Jesus Christ. That's where God leads. And when you notice here in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. Now, as wonderful as it was to see that star, nothing could compare when we read they saw the young child. They saw him. We don't know what he looked like. I do know this. He didn't look like king. But they believed. This is the king. This is the king of the Jews. I believe they believed more than that. I believe they believed that this is the king of kings. This is God himself in the flesh. And when they saw the young child, they had never seen anything more marvelous than what they saw. They had never seen anything more wonderful, more amazing, and more blessed than what they saw right then and there in that house. You and I can only imagine what they felt. But that day they saw God in the flesh. They saw the Creator of the universe. They saw the architect of everything. They saw the sustainer of the universe. They saw the infinite, unsearchable, immeasurable, eternal God. They saw him with their own eyes. And I'm telling you today, if you'll just follow God by faith, you'll see wonderful things. You'll see amazing things. Following the Lord by faith. What they saw that day was the most precious, the most lovely, the most beautiful, the most influential, the most illustrious, the greatest person to ever come into the world. They saw it that day, all because they followed the leadership of God. In the midst of unbelief, in the midst of difficulties. That brings us to their worship, and we'll not spend much time on that because we're running out of time. But these wise men, when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And the Bible makes it very, very plain. And fell down and worshiped him, not them. They saw Mary, they saw Christ, and who did they worship? Him. They fell down and worshiped him. There's a lot to learn from worship when you look at the worship of the wise men. First of all, their worship was willing. No one made them make that journey. No one made them fall down and worship. They worshiped because when they saw the young child, and when they saw that he was the king, that's just what they naturally did. They couldn't help themselves. They fell down in humility and worshiped. And we ought to sing, not just because the congregation is singing, but because we want to sing. We ought to come to church, not just because it's time to come to church, but because we want to come to church. We ought to pray, not just because it's time to pray, but simply because we want to pray. And these wise men, they came and they worshiped. Why did they worship? Because they wanted to. Their worship was willing. Their worship was personal. They themselves worshiped God. And we see also that their worship gave. Their worship was emotional. We see that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It was sacrificial. They opened their treasures. They presented unto Him gifts. Now He's a young child. They presented unto Him, not to Mary and Joseph, but unto Him. And they presented frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now I believe when it came time to flee, Joseph and Mary, they don't have a savings account. How do you think Joseph and Mary were able to afford to flee Herod? Because of the offering of the wise men. But you see, they presented it to Christ. So in closing, many are trying to worship the Lord today without ever leaving their comfort zone. How many times you hear people say, "Oh, I can worship God at home just as well as I can anywhere else." What are they saying? I don't want to leave home. These wise men left home. And now we see them worshiping. They came and they saw. And many today are trying to worship something that they cannot see. That's why they have to put up emblems in their church and pictures, because they got to see something. But we don't worship tonight something that's invisible. We don't need a picture either. We don't need a symbol. Because we see by faith. And we worship. And these wise men, they saw. And they worshiped. But I love verse 12. "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country." They made that long journey. Another 2 years back, thereabouts. "They departed into their own country another way." Now that's literal. They literally went another way back home. But I believe there's a lesson there for all of us. And that is, when you truly leave your home and you come and you worship God, you'll always go home another way. You don't go home the same. I'm not talking about taking a different road home. I'm talking about you don't go home the same way when you truly worship the Lord. It changes you. And we could go on for quite some time about the wise men. There's so many lessons that we can learn from these wise men. It doesn't matter to me if there were two, if there was three, if there was 150. None of that matters. Nor do I get offended if someone wants to say there were three. You have nothing to base that on, really, but so what? But you cannot place, and I believe people miss the greatness of the account when you place the wise men at the manger. There's so much more to it. See their faith in making that long journey and then coming to that house where the young child was. Oh, how we ought to thank God for the one who was born King.
and he is still king. I believe that one day the world will see him as the King of Kings. But you and I that are saved, we already see him as the King of Kings. We already recognize him as the King of Kings. He's not going to become the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings right now. And he's the only one who can save your soul. If you're here and lost today, your only hope today is Jesus Christ. You have no other hope. That's it. That's your only hope is Jesus Christ. If you can trust him today, he'll save your soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand.